Isaiah chapter 26, let's all stand, please. We'll read, if you'll follow along with me, I'll read out loud the first four verses. And I'm going to preach on this subject, how to stay sane in an insane world. How to stay sane in an insane world, or we could call the message, how to be kept in perfect peace. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for the walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, Lord, and for this Sunday. And we'll never recapture this moment, not exactly like it is, not this exact group of people, not this exact time. And so, Lord, we understand that we've come here for a purpose. And, Lord, there's things going on in our lives, each individual life, maybe it'll never be exactly the same. And so we need to hear very uniquely from you and your word, and as your Holy Spirit would please minister to each of us, as you tailor make the message that you've laid on the preacher's heart, if you'd tailor make it to each and every one of our lives and our situation. Lord, I pray, dear God, whether it's the entire message, whether it's three or four points, whether it's one illustration or whether it's one sentence or one phrase, Lord, that you would take and give each of us something that we can grab hold of, dear God, and make our own. And it would help us and change us and transform us so that we would be better like Jesus and better fitted for your service. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I get busy, and to be honest with you, if you were to ask me on most days, preacher, what's been going on in the world, I would look at you and absolutely not have a clue. I mean that. I'm not a news junkie. I don't watch the evening news. I think there's a lot of other ways you can be depressed rather than just bring it on yourself like that. I'm not a Fox News junkie. Those of you that are, I'm praying for you. You need to get help with that, you know. But I'm just not. I read the Drudge Report every few days to see whether or not the world's still ticking and what's going on. And it takes me 2 or 3 seconds, and then I move on with life. I'm just not captivated by it. I've had major events happen this year and not found out about it for 2 or 3 days. And I guess if the world ever comes to an end, a week or so later, I'll probably find out about it. But I'm going to tell you, I almost have to do it for my own personal sanity. Now, some of you are always about like this just because, you know what? Listen, I've got some good news here that you could read every day. I got some real encouraging things that you could lose your heart into and your mind into that's a lot better than anything that's going on out there. I'm not saying that you shouldn't keep on things, and I'm not saying that some of the things are good to know about. I'm just saying there's a lot more important things than what's going on in this world. This world is just going to last a few time for a small amount of time, and eternity is going to begin. But I'll be honest with you: if I read too much, if I watch too much, if I got too much into that, I'd lose my mind. I want my mind to be stayed somewhere else. Well, I'm going to teach you something if you'll let me this morning: how to stay sane in an insane world. There's a lot of crazy things going on in the world. This week, some very disappointing things happened in our country, really did. Some things that I believe are even our president has done this week that he probably ought to be impeached over. And I mean, these things are going on, and yet it seems like nobody stands up, nobody says anything, nobody does anything about it. And honestly, for somebody who has integrity and somebody that views the world through a Bible viewpoint, it's very, very discouraging at times to feel like, you know, why is it that seems like the devil's having his way? But then again, as I'm going to teach in just a few minutes, folks, if you have a Bible perspective, these things don't really discourage you. They don't make you feel like you got to go home and curl up in a fetal position and give up on the world. I mean, good night. We know, according to the Bible, things are going to wax worse and worse. And we know that everything's being set up for a one world government. We know, and we know that, you know what, Jesus is going to come back pretty soon. And so sometimes we have to have a sanity check every once in a while. You know, every once in a while I think I'm going insane. And then I realize that I'm just normal. And if you're normal and then you compare yourself to the world, you feel insane. But it's not you that's insane, it's the world that's gone insane. And so I want to help you with something this morning, if you'll let me help you with it. You know what? One of the things that's wonderful about being a Christian is the peace that comes with it. I love this verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Not just average peace, not just elementary level peace, but in mature, complete peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We could spend, honestly, the rest of the morning just reading verses in the Bible that have to do with peace. If you follow the life of Jesus Christ, you know what? I like Mark 4:39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And I read that this week and thought, you know what? That's my Savior. In the middle of a storm, I don't care what's going on in your life. The wind could be blowing. The boat could be on the verge of tipping over. Your life may, literally be in the midst of hurricane circumstances. But you know what? If you know Jesus Christ, you know the one that can stand up and say, peace be still. And the wind ceases and a great calm comes upon you. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He went on to say in John 14:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want to talk to you a little bit about this subject, how to stay sane in an insane world. I want to talk to you about the subject of perfect peace. Let me just start my introduction by saying this. Perfect peace starts with salvation. It starts with receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, if you don't have Christ in your heart as your Savior, you're never going to have peace. Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You say, wait a minute, preacher, maybe I'm not saved, but I'm not wicked. Well, you know what? If you don't realize you are, you're never going to get saved. The honest truth is, every single one of us are sinners, and every single one of us without Jesus Christ is a mess. And the very best that we can do, when we're lost, our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. Even when we try to do good without God's help, it is tainted with so much sin that it becomes, in God's eyes, as filthy rags. You know what? I like that track we put in the track rack, and we've bowed out of them, but I like that one that says, good news for bad people and bad news for good people. I don't ever worry about the person who thinks they're too bad to be saved, because if I could sit down with them, they'll probably get saved. But you know what? You can't do anything with somebody who thinks they're too good to be saved. Last Sunday morning, I taught the teen class at the Regency Baptist Church. AJ wanted me to come in and fire up his kids and preach to them and talk to them in Sunday school class about the youth revival. And I got to meet before the service a 17-year-old young man by the name of Jonathan. He had been invited on visitation, on their Wednesday visitation, and walked into the church. And I got to meet him, and I said, hey, let me show you where the teen class is. And I said, I don't know, but together maybe we can find it. And then I sat back as he was doing preliminaries, got to know Jonathan a little bit. And in the teen class, shared my testimony, preached salvation, and talked to the kids about the importance of getting their friends saved. And Sunday morning service, I preached a salvation message. He raised his hand during the invitation, knowing that he needed Christ, knowing that he needed to be saved. And AJ took him over to the side and began to deal with him after church to go through the scriptures to make sure, see where he was, and to make sure he was had an understanding of salvation, and that we, of course, always want to make sure that the conversions are genuine to the best of our ability to see that God's hand and God's working was in his life. And he sat down with this young man, and he said this first to AJ. He said, I may have misunderstood the preacher, but he said something about we can know that we're going to heaven. He said, I've never heard that. I've never He said, my family, most of my family that's died's in hell. He said, I'm going there. And AJ said, you don't have to. And he said, I think I do. He said, I'm 17 years of age, but you don't know what I've done in my life. He said, that preacher said, I could go to heaven. I'd given up on that idea a long time ago. I don't think that that's true. I mean, he was sincere, tears, and I don't think that that's true. And you know what? AJ was able to take the Bible and go through and show him about God's amazing love for sinners. And I looked over in a little while, and that young man had his head bowed and tears running down his face. And you know what? He found out that there's good news for bad people. There's good news for bad people. I heard about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Man, you let anybody come to that church, you better believe it. You better believe it. You better believe we do. You better believe we do. I mean, come on, bring them on in. I mean, Ron Allen, when he was here, when I would go out on visitation with him, he'd go out and invite somebody, and they'd say, oh, good night, man. If I walked into church, the building would fall in on me. And he said, he'd always say to them, listen, I walk in that church. If they let me walk, he listen, you come sit with me, because if they let me walk in that church, they got to let anybody walk in that church. And you know what? Ron Allen realized he was just an old lost sinner that needed Jesus. You see, if you think you're something, you can't get saved. You think you're wonderful and good and you don't need God, you can't be saved. You think you're good enough to get to heaven on your own. Hey, I got bad news for you. You can't get saved. You get to the point where you realize that without Jesus Christ, you're on your way to a devil's hell. And you know what? You are lost. You are unrighteous. Watch this. Let me use the word. You are wicked. Then you got a chance to be saved. Most people, you can't get lost enough to get saved. Come on now. Most people, you just can't get them lost enough to get saved. Somewhere along the line, they're listening to this, but there's something that rises up inside of them. Pride rises up inside of them, and they just don't want to sign on the dotted line. Yes, I'm wicked, and I'm sinful, and I'm deserving of a devil's hell. But you don't realize those things, you can't be saved. There's not a person in the world that can stand before God righteous enough. Bible says, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a one of us, not a one of us that could stand up here and be honest and say, you know what? I'll tell you what. When I die, God's going to have to open those pearly gates and usher me in, walking across the red carpet, because I'm telling you what, I'm so wonderful, I'm so good. How could he resist me walking into heaven? The honest truth is, every single person that makes it to heaven will make it by the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll make it because Jesus died for our sins. They'll make it because God was willing to forgive us and send his son to pay the way for us. And so let me just say this. If you want perfect peace, it starts with salvation. If you want perfect peace, it must come through the blood of Jesus Christ. I like what it says in Colossians. I'll read it to you. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that were in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, for he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All these verses are talking about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of the flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I'll tell you what, that's a lot in those verses. Hey, preacher, why are you going to heaven? Is it because you're a preacher? No, I'm wicked. Is it because of all the things? No, it's nothing I've done, nothing I can do. Well, why are you going to heaven? It's because you wear a suit? No, it has nothing to do with what you got on your back. Well, why are you going to heaven then? Because you feed poor people? No, it doesn't have a thing to do with that. Why do you go to, let me tell you, It's only because of Jesus. Okay, there's no good in Jerry Ross. And by the way, there's no good in you either. It's only, listen, I had to come to Jesus empty-handed. I had to come to him and say, I've got nothing. It's not like, well, I've done this much, God, and now I just need a little bit of Jesus to push me over the top. No, you got it all wrong. My Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I just want to say this, folks. One of the great things that comes with salvation is that you have the beginnings, the platform, the foundation to inherit this perfect peace that we're talking about. Perfect peace starts with salvation. But perfect peace then is achieved through surrender. Now, watch this, folks. I want to see if I can help you with this. You know what? There's the difference between having peace with God, that's achieved through salvation, having the peace of God, that's achieved through separation. Now listen to that again. Peace with God is achieved through salvation. Peace of God is achieved through separation. Perfect peace is achieved through surrender and separation from this world. Now this world offers no peace to the Christian. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Thinking on the things of this world brings an unrest, brings worry, brings stress to the mind, brings stress to the soul. This world, if you're seeking for peace in this world, you'll never find it. Perfect peace, Christians, I'm talking to you now, perfect peace is achieved by learning to turn your back on the world and to focus your mind on God. That will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on primetime television. That will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on politics. That will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on sports. I feel terrible that we have to drop the ratings from support. He had no idea that for years I've preached that Aaron Rodgers is the Antichrist. And I had no idea, folks, that that type of false doctrine was going to be preached from the pulpit. Blessed hope. But it's been good supporting for you for the little bit of time we did able to do that. And I would wish God's best on you, but obviously there is no peace to the wicked. And so that's... I mean, when you stand up in my pulpit and say, I hate the Chicago Bears, I mean, boom. I mean, from that moment on, you're a used-to-be missionary, all right? So, but we were selling Dad Whittington's car. They were selling one so they could get another one, and this guy showed up, and he had a Green Bay Packer hat on, and we listed it on Craigslist, that sold it that same day. God really did that. And this guy showed up, and I'm showing him. I'm on the phone talking to Dad Whittington. He's looking at the car, and I'm like, I'm going, all right, and all this stuff. And I said, we went through all the details. I said, there only seems to be one problem. He said, what's that? I said, I don't think you want to sell it to this guy. He's standing right there. I don't think you want to sell it to this guy. The guy kind of looks at me. He said, why is that? I said, he's got a Green Bay Packer hat on. And, of course, Dad Whittington lived in Wisconsin. He just threw me under the bus. He didn't care. He's like, that's the sign of God. We're supposed to sell it to him. And so, anyway. Perfect peace starts with salvation. It's achieved. Watch this, folks. I want to help you this morning. Because, yes, I preached salvation. I took a few minutes. I'm going to come back at the end of the message and encourage you. If you're not saved, you heard already the most important part of this message. I mean, God never intended you to live this life and try to maneuver through this world without him. I mean, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you're man alive. Yeah, I mean, you're up a creek without a paddle. You're doing something that no human being was ever intended to do, to try to live their life without God. I'm not saying if you get saved, all your problems are going to go away. I'm just telling you that all of a sudden now you have God with you in the midst of your problems. I say this often, but if you put God in the middle of something, is it going to be better or worse? If you take God out of the middle of something, it's going to be better or worse. I think our public school system figured that, is finding that out, by the way. You take God out of the public schools as they did and outlaw the Bible and outlaw prayers they did in the 60s, and then now everybody's wringing their hand. What in the world has become of our young people? You took God out. That's what become of our young people. You took God out. That's why the suicide rate's gone through the ceiling amongst teenagers. That's why drug and alcohol abuse is through the ceiling. Listen, you take God from them, they're going to turn and try to find something to fill that void. And you know what? The devil's got plenty of stuff to try to hand them. All it does is bring destruction. I'm going to come back to it, but I want to preach the rest of the morning for the next few minutes to Christians. Folks, watch this. Here's what's sad. You've accepted Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and you're saved, and yet you don't have peace. To me, that's sad. Watch this. That's tragic. It's tragic to me that I understand lost people not having peace. But folks, listen to me. If you don't have peace as a saved person, it's because you're living below your privilege. You can have perfect peace. But you know what? If you want perfect peace, then you're going to have to find out it just doesn't come because you got saved. It's now available because you're saved, but it doesn't just come because you got saved. Because the Bible goes on and says this, that will keep him in perfect peace. Watch this. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. How to keep your mind stayed on God. Listen to me, I'm going to give you some good things this morning. How to have perfect peace. How to stay sane in an insane world. Listen, let me just give you a couple things. Number one, completely surrender yourself to the will of God. I know that you're saved. I'm glad that you're saved. But you know what? A lot of people are saved, but they've given Christ their heart. They've accepted the free gift of eternal life, but they're holding back their life. Surrender completely to the will of God. Go over to Romans chapter 12. I want you to see these scriptures. Romans chapter 12, very familiar scriptures, verse 1 and 2, but well worth our time this morning. I want to remind you that you as a Christian, even in the midst of horrible circumstances, even in the midst of the trials and tribulations, even in the midst of this crazy, insane world, you can have perfect peace. You can live with perfect peace. But it starts with your mind. That will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It starts with the mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And here's a wonderful phrase. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, once we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit that comes and indwells us. But as a child of God, He wants to teach us some things. And one of the things He wants to teach us is how to think differently. When you get saved, yes, it changes your eternal destination. It changes your standing with God. You have peace with God, but that doesn't mean you automatically have the peace of God. You have to let the Holy Spirit of God teach you to think differently. Okay, perfect peace comes to those whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It's a matter of the mind. What does this verse say? Listen, completely surrender yourself to the will of God. How do you keep your mind stayed on God? You completely surrender yourself to the will of God. Verse number 1, you start by presenting your body a living sacrifice. I'm talking about after you're saved. There ought to be a time when you build an altar. I mean, build an altar and lay your body down on it and offer it to God. In your mind's mind, you build an altar and you lay everything that you are on it and you offer it as a living sacrifice. God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. Climb up on the altar. Put that body up on an altar. By the way, present it. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And this is your reasonable service. Starts with presenting your body. And then the Bible says once you do that, once you climb up on that altar and get, now wait a minute, I don't want to just run past that because some of you have been saved a long time, but you've never climbed up on an altar and given everything to God. And you never will have perfect peace until you make that decision. See, the Holy Spirit of God, when he comes inside of you, he starts a war. He starts, listen, he saved you. God saved you. And you know what? He's sealed you into the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit seals you into the day of redemption. But the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and he starts a war. It's amazing how many times people get saved. And you know what? Man alive, the peace of God comes upon them. Peace with God comes upon them. And then they revel in that for a while and they enjoy that for a while. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God begins to cause what I call a holy unrest in your soul after you're saved. You know why? Because his job is to sanctify you and to continue to bring you into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit comes in and he seals you so that you have peace with God. But you know what? He's going to, listen, watch this, worry you into getting to the place where you want to have the peace of God. And so the Holy Spirit will begin to deal with little areas of your life. After you're saved, he's going to deal with some things in your life after you're saved. When you got saved, didn't make you perfect. And so all of a sudden, he's going to tap on your shoulder. By the way, the first thing he's going to deal with you is baptism. Why? It's the first step of obedience. I've never seen a new Christian have peace very long who would not be baptized, who didn't want to be baptized, who would refuse to be baptized. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to cause an unrest. You know why? It's the first step of obedience. Baptism by immersion. What's that mean? Under the water. Well, I got sprinkled when I was a baby. You'll never find that in the Bible. That's not a Bible practice. It's wrong for several reasons. First of all, you're supposed to be baptized after you get saved. And say when you were a baby, you didn't get saved. You hadn't reached the age of accountability. You couldn't even understand the gospel. And so somebody else did that to you. Not only that, but baptism, by definition, is by immersion, means under the water. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you an honest question, Christian. Are you saved? Look back at the time when you look back in your life and say, yes, that's the day that I look back. I know I was saved on that day. Whether you can remember the exact date, you go back to a place and time in your mind. I was saved there, preacher. Since that day, have you been baptized by immersion? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, that's part of your problem. That's part of the unrest. That's part of the reason that you don't have peace. But, okay, I'm going to get baptized in because I want peace. So, you know what? You get baptized. Man, I'm telling you what, you come out of the water and, oh, man, and you know what? There's so much joy that comes from just being obedient to the Lord. So much joy that comes from that. And so you baptize and, I've done it now. I got saved and I got baptized. And you sit in the service and you come and preacher preaches on something else. And guess what? The Holy Spirit begins this holy unrest again about another area of your life. About some things maybe you need to make right. Maybe you've done wrong in your past and there's some things you need to go make right. Well, preacher, wait a minute. I thought all that was under the blood. It is under the blood. It's not on your eternal record. But you know what? You have a great opportunity to influence somebody else for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how many people have gotten saved because somebody who was lost and did them dirty got saved, baptized, the Holy Spirit began to speak to them, went back to that person and says, you know what? I want to tell you something that I did. I wronged you. I stole from you. I should have done this. I didn't do this. And I want to get it right. I want you to know I've gotten saved. I've gotten baptized. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit's dealing with me about this. And I want to make it right. I'll tell you what, many, many people have been influenced by the fact that, listen, you were willing to fix something. Listen, the Holy Spirit's, he's not done with you yet. And you know what? How do we have peace? We want to give God our life in compartments. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'll give you this much of my life. There. Now I'll feel good for a while. But you know what? You're not going to feel good for very long. One old evangelist used to say this. Picture your heart as a house. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he moves in. He moves into the living room. But you know what? Pretty soon he's knocking on the closed doors because he wants the whole house. And so finally you say, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll give you this room there. Now you've got two rooms and you feel good for a while. Then he goes over to a door that's not been opened yet. I'm talking about you're saved. I'm not talking about getting saved in steps. I'm talking about you're already saved. But you know what? He's going to keep, listen, folks, what I'm trying to get to is this. He's not going to be satisfied. Young person, he's not going to be satisfied. And you're not going to ever find peace till you climb up on the altar. When you throw every door, every closet door, everything open, you know what? All to Jesus I surrender. That's where it starts. Now watch this. Why is this important? Are you looking at Romans chapter 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That verse number 2 comes after verse number 1. You see, you're never going to begin to think right or be able to keep your mind stayed on Christ if you've never climbed up on the altar and offered yourself completely, surrender yourself completely to God. This would be a big step in some of your lives. Please listen to me. It starts with your mind. How do you keep your mind stayed on God? You must completely surrender yourself to the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants our body, he wants our soul, he wants our spirit, he wants us lock, stock, and barrel, and he wants it all to be preserved blameless, sanctified, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You're never going to have peace, perfect peace, as long as you're holding back any part of your life. What is it, young person? Come on. Let's do business this morning. I mean, we've made the effort to be here. We got up. We got dressed. We're here. We might as well let God do something in our lives. What? Come on, what's the Holy Spirit right now? And he's not shy. If you'll ask him, what's he putting his finger on and say, what about this area? Well, Lord, you can have everything but my music. And the Lord says, I want your music too. You can have everything but my dress. I want your dress too. You can have everything but my friends. I want your friends too. I mean, he's not going to stop, and you're never going to have peace. Listen, I'm torn here. If you don't know this stuff, I feel sorry for you. If you know this stuff as a Christian, and you won't do it, and then you don't ever have any peace, and you want sympathy, I'm sorry, you're causing the lack of peace in your life. It's not circumstance. Come on now. It's not what somebody else said. It's not what somebody else done. Crawl up on the altar. I mean, when I finally made a trip to an altar as a 17-year-old young man and decided lock, stock, barrel, every breath, every heartbeat for the rest of my life, it belongs to God. I can't tell you the peace that came into my life. Were you saved? Yes, I was saved. Did you have peace as a saved young person? No. You know why? Because I was holding back. Now, folks, listen to me. It starts up here. And you're never going to have peace in your mind and be able to keep your mind stayed on God the way it's supposed to if you do not completely surrender to God. Oh, man, I don't want to just leave here. I look at these young ladies. I look at these young guys. I watch some of you coming on buses. I know this is all new to you. And you may look around some of these other church kids and say, well, I could never be like that. Let me tell you something. Yes, you can. God wants to transform your life. Amen. Preacher, I don't have Christian parents. That's fine. Climb up on the altar. My mom and dad don't go to church. Climb up on the altar. Man, my family would think I've gone nuts. Climb up on the altar. I mean, listen, yeah, but people will make fun of me. Climb up on the altar. Man, the kids at school's going to have a heyday. Climb up on the altar. You know what they don't have that you can have? Perfect peace. Man alive, we don't want to get to the end of our lives having been saved and then end up on our deathbed and look back and wonder what our life would have been like if we'd have just given everything to God. You young people, you got your whole life ahead of you. Now's the time to climb up on the altar. Don't wait till later on. How do you keep your mind stayed on God? You got to completely surrender yourself to the will of God. Number 2, how to keep your mind stayed on God? Let me give you 3 things. Here they are. I'll give them to you. 1, 2, 3. Number 1, think spiritually. Number 2, think positively. Number 3, think eternally. When I don't think these ways, I don't have peace. When I think these ways, I keep my mind stayed on God and I have peace. Think spiritually. Think positively. Think eternally. Let me give you these thoughts. Number 1, think spiritually. View every situation from a biblical perspective. What's the difference between thinking spiritually and thinking carnally? The difference is this. You know what? When you're thinking spiritually, you're looking at it from a Bible perspective. When you're thinking of carnally, you're thinking of it from a worldly perspective. Something happens in your life. And you've got to say, what does the Bible say? And listen, here's a great question. Every situation that comes up, ask yourself, what does the Bible instruct me to do? What does the Bible have to say about this? You say, preacher, well, I don't know. Well, then that's going to hopefully do something. It'll drive you to your Bible. Hey, let me encourage you something. You want to think scripturally, then you got to read your Bible. Come on, preacher, this is basic stuff. We're dying because we're not doing the basics. I mean, every morning, get up and crack the Bible open and read the Bible. Every morning. I mean, read it every morning. Carry a copy with you when you go to work. Guys, come on. Break it open at the break room. Read a few verses. Read the Bible. You're not going to think scripturally if you don't have any relationship with the Word of God. You know what I found out through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of counseling? I never have sat in the office with a Christian in turmoil, emotional turmoil, who has a good relationship with that book. The first thing the devil's going to tell you, and the first thing, if you're not careful, you're going to lay aside when you go through a tough time in your life, you're going to lose your Bible time. Oh, I just can't read the Bible. That's when you need to read the Bible. What do you mean you can't read the Bible? Yes, you can. Yeah, but I'm going through this. I just can't focus. Then stand up, open it up, and read it out loud. Preacher, I can't even think. Just read it and don't think for a while. Pretty soon, you know what? It'll get you thinking. Preacher, I can't even say the words. Then cry the words. But I'm going to tell you something. If you walk away from this book, you know what? You're going towards disaster. Listen, I want to help you. You know why some of you are carnally minded? Because you just won't spend time every day, meaningful time in this book. You really believe the Bible will change a person? I know it will. You know what? Sin will keep you from the Bible. The Bible will keep you from sin. There's no way in the world you can have... Please listen to what I'm going to say. There's no way in the world you can have meaningful quality time with this book every day and not be transformed, not be changed but from who you are. I mean, this book is an eternal book. This book is a living book. This book is a miraculous book. I mean, I'm not talking about just read it and glance over it and mark some little... I'm talking about meaningful time where you give your heart and mind to it. Oh, God, please, I'm going to take a chapter and I'm going to read it. And God, I need something today. Help me to look at the words and speak to my heart and read the Bible. Read the Bible. And what's great about it is the Holy Spirit, as you're facing things throughout the day and something happens, you begin to view things from a scriptural standpoint. So you got to think scripturally. Somebody comes up and says, what do you think about this? What should your answer? Come on, your preacher's taught you. What should your answer be if somebody comes up and says, what do you think about this? It's exactly right. Who cares what I think about it? And by the way, who cares what you think about it? Most Christians spend all their life taking a poll about something. Something will happen in their life, they'll go to 47 people for an opinion. And then they count up the opinion poll and they decide that's how I'm supposed to think. Listen, stop that. Go to the Bible. What's the Bible think? Say about it? What does the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say you ought to think about it? What is the Bible viewpoint on? What's the Scripture say? If you could get that one thing in your mind where you begin to train yourself, every situation, I'm watching, if the little time I read the news, you know what I'm thinking? What's the Bible say about that? What's the Bible say about that? What's the Bible say about that? Somebody comes up with some news or something that happened. What's the Bible say I'm supposed to do about that? What's the Bible say about that? What's God's opinion on that? Preacher, how do you feel about that? I hope I feel the same way God feels about it. I hope I have a biblical emotion. And if you think scripturally, you're going to feel appropriately. If you think scripturally, you're going to feel appropriately. I just can't help the way I feel. Yes, you can. If you think scripturally, it changes your emotions. It all starts in the mind. See, when you think carnally, you have carnal emotions. You think spiritually, you have spiritual emotions. God's an emotional God. Read the Bible. I mean, He has feelings. And you know, there's things that make Him happy and there's things that make Him mad. So if something happens, what I want to do is find out what God thinks about it, get His perspective on it. I want to feel the same way He feels about it. Preacher, how do you feel about that? I don't know. How's God feel about it? What's the Bible have to say about it? Think scripturally. Number two, watch this. Not just think scripturally. How do you keep your mind stayed on God? But think positively. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about this. View every situation from a faith perspective. You'll either view life from a faith perspective or a doubt perspective. So think spiritually, view every situation from a biblical perspective. Think positively, view everything from a faith perspective. Now, this is exciting to me. I like this thought. I'm just going to try to park here for a couple minutes. You see, folks, doubt produces negativity, but faith produces optimism. Go over to Acts chapter 27. Let me show you a great Bible illustration about this. I like what Paul does in this chapter. So I don't have to read the whole chapter. Let me set the stage. Paul has appealed to Caesar. They're trying to get him to Rome. They're wanting to put him on a boat. Paul says, I don't think we ought to go. God's told me it's not a good idea, but they decided to go anyway, and guess what happened? Verse number 14 of Acts chapter 27, not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called a Euroclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauna, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest any should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, you ought to underline, every Christian ought to have this last phrase underlined in your Bible. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Why? Because of a storm. Why? Because of circumstances. Why? Because of things they couldn't control. So everybody in the boat is given over to despair, except for someone on the boat whose mind was stayed on God. Now we got to read verse 21. After a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God." What was Paul doing while everybody else was despairing and throwing stuff over? You know what he was doing? He was down there meeting with God. Hey, Mom, listen to me. Mom, listen, please. Mothers, listen to me. There's got to be somebody in the house that when everybody else is losing their mind, goes and finds God. Dads, there's got to be somebody in the house when everybody else is losing their minds, goes and finds God. Okay, listen, folks. Some of you want me to, you know, jump in the boat of despair with you. Excuse me, you don't need a preacher that's going to go to despair. You need a preacher that's going to go to God. And what happens here? Watch this. "For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve." Can you say that? You belong to God? Do you serve God? Can you say, "I am his and I serve him"? I can. I'm not being boastful. I'm just telling you, I settled both those things a long time ago. I became his not because of who I am, but because of what he did for me. I chose to serve him because of a decision of my own free will. So I belong to God, and I'm going to spend my life serving God. If you can say that, you know what? You can walk onto the deck of a pitching ship when everybody else is in despair and say this, what he says next. He says, "I believe God. I believe God." You know why? Because I'm his, and I serve him. And if it's his choice for me to die today, then guess what? There ain't nothing going to change that. But if it's not his choice for me to die today, you know what? There's nothing the devil can do to touch me. Are you getting this? I got to read that next verse because listen, folks, this is what I'm talking about. Think positively. Think from a faith perspective. Saying, verse 24, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. There, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Doubt produces negativity. Faith produces optimism. Preacher, you're just optimistic by nature. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm optimistic by faith. I'm not optimistic by nature. Human nature is never optimistic. I'm optimistic by faith. Human nature tries to figure out, that's why I'm not talking about the positive power of positive thinking, because you know what? That's something that's conjured up in the carnal mind. It's like I'm going to think this situation until it somehow, but no, I believe God. You know what? Paul was in the same storm they were. They were given over to despair. They'd lost hope. And somebody stands up and says, "Listen, I believe God." You know what the faith perspective does? Watch this. I want you to get this. I know everybody's living a different life, and I know the circumstances of your life differs than mine, but I promise you we've all faced storms. We've all faced Euroclidons that have come into our life. And you know what? To be able to walk onto the deck of a ship that's in danger of falling apart underneath you and proclaim, "I believe God." is a great, great, great thing in your life. And it takes faith to do that. I'm His. I'm serving Him. I believe God. I'm one of these people. I know, and I'm not saying to be stupid, even though sometimes I am. I'm telling you, sometimes I am. I am. Sometimes I do stupid things. I probably shouldn't, but I'm not fearful of death. I'm not saying go jump off a 24-story building, because guess what? God's will just changed for your life. I mean, we'll put on your tombstone, died of stupid, all right? That's what we're going to put. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't worry about things. I don't fret about things. I don't live in fear. Folks, fear bringeth a snare. It does. Fear captures you. It catches you in a snare where you can't do anything except just wiggle and wrestle and stay trapped. I believe God. I'm His. I've chosen to serve Him. That's what I'm saying. You're never going to have this mentality until you climb up on the altar. Because you can stand out there as a saved person and say, I'm His. And the Holy Spirit whispered to you, yeah, you are. He has your soul. Too bad He doesn't have your body. Too bad He doesn't have your mind. Too bad He doesn't have your life. And guess what? You lose confidence. When you climb up on the altar and you've laid everything out. Folks, I gave my life to God. Wasn't it Paul that says that his wish and prayer was that Christ be magnified, whether by life or by death? I mean, you know, they say on the news, you know, possibility of a tornado. I don't know about you, but I love storms, man. Everybody runs to the basement, I run to the front porch. I love it. I mean, I just love standing out there watching it. I'm not, young people, go wherever your parents tell you to go. If they tell you go in the basement, go in the basement. That's why I always told my kids right before I went out on the front porch. But I love watching. I mean, you talk about the power of God and a display of the might of God. And the Bible speaks of that. Seeing God in the storm. And they say, well, preacher, aren't you worried some tornado's going to be? Listen, folks, if it's my time, there's no place I'm going to hide. Yeah. And if it's not my time, there's nothing that the devil can do to touch me. Yep. Do you hear what I said? Yes, you know why? Because I'm His, and I serve Him, and I believe God. I'm His, I serve Him, and I believe God. You get those three statements down, and you've got the sermon. Paul stands up on that boat and said, I'm His. Now, what comes with that perfect peace? I'm His. I serve Him. See, some of you have gotten saved, but you know what? You're holding back. You know what? You want to live with a foot in the church and a foot out in the world. You want to come to church on Sunday and sing God's music and then listen to the devil's music all week long. Come on now. I'm trying to help you. You're trying to serve two masters. There are certain things you're not surrendering over. You know, come and smile and be kind to people on Sunday and then treat people like dirt during the week. I'm sorry. Come on now. You can be saved and still not have peace. You crawl up on the altar, present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you. You know what? I enjoyed, Brother Klein, I enjoyed watching Kyle get married yesterday. It's a good young man right there. Say, is he perfect? No, neither are you. That's a good young man right there. I watched, Brother Tom, I watched some of our ding-dong girls around here his age wouldn't give him the time of day. And I told Cheryl that. I said, some of these idiot girls don't know a good thing when they're looking at it. No, I mean that. I mean, some of you are so caught up in stupid stuff. You got so brainwashed by the world as far as what you're looking for that you can't see some of the jewels we have right here in this church. I mean it. Come on now. Bro, I knew if that boy's passed, I said, God's going to bring somebody in. Now that little girl is sitting beside you, it ain't going to be long. You're going to be walking her down the aisle somewhere. You know why? Because her mind has stayed on God. Amen. Well, Lindsay, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say it in front of y'all. But I'm going to tell you, that girl's got God all over. And she hadn't gotten discouraged because it hadn't happened in her time frame, decided to throw her standards away. Let me ask you, I'm going to say something. You get mad at me if you want to. See, you're bitter about the wrong things. You're bitter about God not following your plan when you won't follow His. Suppose your preacher got a call yesterday, young lady, young man, you know, that's unmarried, and said from another preacher, you got a young lady in your church about such and such age? By the way, she needs to be a soul winner. She needs to be serving God somewhere actively in your church. She needs to dress right. Because I got a young man here. Amen. Look, come on, I'm going to be, you be honest with me. Don't you get mad at me. Why don't you get mad at your sin? Could I say, oh yeah, I'm going to tell you what, man. Hand of God's on this young lady. She's full on with God. She's got a great spirit, great attitude. She never misses church. Serves selfishly in the ministries here. Dresses right, does right, lives right. Boom, I can recommend. By the way, I get those phone calls. You be mad at me if you want to, but I'm a lie for anybody. See, what we want to do is we want to sit here outside. We don't want to climb on the altar and we want to stand up here and shake our fist at God. Why don't you let things work out for me? Why don't you do it? Climb on the altar. Some of you used to be on the altar and you've climbed off the altar because God didn't do in your time what you think he ought. I'm trying to help you here. All right? I don't care what kind of condition your life is in, what terrible storm you're going through, you stand on the deck of a crumbling ship, and if you can say this, I am God's, I serve him, and I believe him, then that ship may come apart underneath you, because it did for Paul, but a piece of that ship carried him to the shore. And your life may fall apart or seem to fall apart, but you know what you're going to find out? Somebody who belongs to God and has given their life to serve him and believes in him will always make it to shore. Amen. They'll always land on their feet. Okay, it didn't look good for Joseph for a while either, did it, in the Old Testament? But did he land on his feet? Didn't look good for Daniel when they threw him down. Did he land on his feet? Didn't look good for those three. Are you listening to me? I don't care short term what it looks like. You show me somebody, they'll stand on the deck of a crumbling ship and say, I belong to God. I serve God, and I believe God, you know what? They'll make it to shore. Amen. God's not done with them. Well, there's so much more I want to say. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Keep your mind stayed on him. Keep your mind stayed on him. Get off Facebook. Get your face in the book. Amen. Get off Facebook and get your face in the book. Some of you used to be dedicated, separated Christians. You're not now. Come on. You used to be soul-winning, serving Christians, and you're not now. You don't have any peace. You're backslidden. I don't care if you're here every single service. You're backslidden. Come on. If you'll listen to God, you know it's true. Can you say this morning, I am his? If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can take care of that. You can be saved this morning. I am his. I belong to God. Can you say this? I serve the Lord. I serve him. Lock, stock, and barrel. I climbed up on the altar. I gave my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable. I have asked God to transform my mind. I think scripturally. I want to think positively. I have a faith perspective. I think eternally. I view every situation from an eternal perspective. I realize this life's a vapor, appears for a short time, vanisheth away. Boom. Well, let's get real. Those people have perfect peace. Those people, even when they go through the storms, has Jesus in the bow with them. They can stand there and say, I belong to God. I serve the Lord. I believe God. Heavenly Father, please help us. I pray if there's one here this morning that's never received you as Jesus as their personal Savior, they'll be saved. I know what it's like to walk into a church lost. I know what it's like to hear preaching and fall under conviction. I know what it's like to have God speaking to my heart saying, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to go up there. I know what that's like. And Lord, I pray for that one. Those same things are happening to them this morning. And you're dealing in their life. And nothing a preacher could say could create what's happening in their heart. God is doing it. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to listen to your still small voice, that holy unrest. May they come forward today. By the way, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we have two men up here that's willing to meet you right here at the front. Come on, are you saved? Are you ready for heaven? Can you say, I belong to God? I received Jesus Christ. I'm one of his children. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Are you a child of God? Have you been saved? If not, I want you to be saved. How about a Christian? Oh, I'm saved, preacher. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Time to get up on the altar. Time to climb back up. Did you used to be there? Things didn't work out, so you climb off, climb back up there. God's the God of a second chance, third chance, fourth chance. Praise the Lord. Can some Christians say amen right there? He's well. Listen, God loves you. Yeah, I've already blown it. No, you haven't. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. Come on. Come on. Isn't it time to get the victory back? Can you say I serve God? Can you say I believe in God? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd bless. Use this invitation, dear God, to help us. Please. In Jesus' name.